Welcome to Binge Views, BingeMedia.net's weekly new release review show. That's all I can say about it. My name is Jim Law, the friendliest and angriest Canadian you'll ever meet in your life. And I'm here with the great Chad C.
How's it going, good sir?
Pretty good. I got a long weekend. I know I just had fucking a month off, so I don't need anyone's smart comments, but I have a long weekend for what we call over here Remembrance Day. You call it Veterans Day.
Ah, yeah.
Okay. Now, is Veterans Day a holiday over there, or is it just like a...
It's a legal holiday, I'm pretty sure. Like, the banks are closed and everything, so yeah. Coming Saturday.
There you go. See, Remembrance Day isn't... Like, no one else gets it. Like, our union fought to keep Remembrance Day, but nobody else gets Remembrance Day. We have shit called, like, Family Day. You have Family Day?
Can't say that we do.
No? Okay, so we got this thing called Family Day, and everyone gets that off, but we don't because we kept Remembrance Day. It's very, very fucking difficult to understand.
Interesting.
It truly is interesting, I know. Anyways, it all adds up and equals out to a long weekend for me.
It's pretty solid.
So I'm going to start that with a Labatt 50 and nice. A chat with Chad C. That's the beginning of my weekend.
That's right. Starting your weekend off right, I like to say.
That would start it no other way. How was your week? Let's get a little chit-chat in here. People have complained in the past that there's just not enough banter between us.
Oh, they can suck a dick. So it's going good. I watched these two movies, you know, getting ready for you.
All right.
It's hopefully a little better than... the last few weeks. Last week was okay. We had Thor, so...
Right.
Yeah, not too bad. Can't complain. Doing this, getting paid, so can't complain too much.
Well, see? Look at it. We're all caught up now. you feel good about this now? You feel ready to move ahead?
Oh, I'm ready. Are you ready? That's the question.
All right. What are the two movies that you'll be reviewing for us today?
Daddy's Home 2 and Murder on the Orient Express.
All right, can I pick the movie to start with today?
You sure can.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick Murder on the Orient Express.
That's what I was gonna start with.
Okay, because Murder on the Orient Express. Is this a remake of an old movie? Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is the remake of Sidney Lumet's 1974 Murder on the Orient Express. Yep.
It's one of those titles that I've always known about, I've always heard about. If you were to say it to me in any given conversation, I know exactly what you're talking about. Have never seen a single second of the original film. Did not watch the trailer for this film. It's kind of like, and it reminds me in more than one way, like the game Clue. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about when you bring up the game Clue. I know what it looks like. I know probably a lot of the gameplay of it. You got to figure out who killed who. I've never played Clue in my life, and I've never seen Murder on the Orient Express. Did you see the original?
Yeah, so I actually just watched it for the first time a couple days ago in preparation for this one. So
fucking extra? You're doing extra work for Binge Views?
Yeah, I like to do prep work, you know? I don't want to be so clueless coming in here, so yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, that AMG hooked me up.
I can't wait till you get kids. It's going to be amazing how much little shit you get to do. All right. Well, okay. Let's press pause. Well, how was the original film?
I think the original has like a back in, 74, it's got like Sean Connery, Albert Finney, Lauren Bacall, Ingrid Bergman, Vanessa, Anthony Perkins. It's a really big cast. So, I enjoyed it for the performances alone because, that's kind of hard not to. They're all just, doing what they want in this, it's just a big ensemble piece. So they get to do a lot. So, yeah, I thought I liked it. I didn't love it by any means. I don't know if I'd ever watch it again, but it was definitely worth a watch one time.
Was the original based on other work? Was it a book or anything?
Yeah, it's based off Agatha Christie. Her work. So the Hercule Poirot is the main detective, and that's Albert Finney's character in the original. That's Kenneth Branagh is that role in this one, which I gather, I've never read any of Agatha Christie's work, but I guess Hercule Poirot is a big character in most of her books.
Oh,
so.
Right, right. Okay. So what would you do we say see it, skip it, or stream it for the original? Or I don't know how you want to handle that one.
Yeah, I would say see it for the performances alone.
Nice.
That's, okay. Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's move on to 2017's Murder on the Orient Express. As you said, directed by Kenneth Branagh, starring Kenneth Branagh. Yeah. Also Penelope Cruz, Willem Dafoe, Johnny Depp, Daisy Ridley. Who else we got?
Michelle Pfeiffer, Judy Dench.
Holy moly.
Leslie Odom Jr. Yeah, the cast keeps going. So, yeah, going into this, like I said, I had a. After watching that one, so I was hoping for something, you know. You know, remakes always, I feel like they need to. If they don't add something or, you know, be a little different, I don't see really a necessity for them. And so that's what I was kind of going to think of this. Maybe, you know, updated version, see this. But. Yeah, so it's pretty much cut and dry, the exact same story, everything. There's an avalanche on this, obviously, this trains. And so there's a murder that happens, and from there, Hercule Poirot, Kenneth Branagh's character, is set out with a task of finding out who... He's this world-famous detective, like we talked. And so, yeah, he's tasked with finding out who committed this murder.
Okay.
So the murder happens about 30 to 45 minutes into the movie. So the first little bit's a little bit of setup for his character and, you know, why he's such a great detective. But then again, it goes from there.
So hold on. Do we meet, like, is it also used for setup for the other, like, all the red herrings? Like, is it also set up for the other characters?
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not all of them. But Daisy Ridley's character, Leslie Odom Jr.'s character, they kind of, you know, before they get on the train.
Okay.
And then there's a couple of the side characters that are not really big names.
All right.
So, yeah. What you got for me?
So you're saying, how long is the movie? 45 minutes in, the murder happens. How much more movie is after that?
It's an hour and, 54 minutes, I believe. Almost a little under 2 hours.
All right.
It's about a half hour that the murder actually happens.
Okay, so after the murder happens, we get to know all the big names come into play. Now, are all the... We named a lot of big names in that cast. Are they all suspects, other than Braun?
Yeah, so there's 13 other passengers or whatever, and that's... Or 11 other passengers, and he's, yeah, tasked with interviewing them and kind of trying to get to the bottom of the whole situation.
Okay. All right.
But yes, everyone is a suspect.
Now, you, very famously... Well, I don't know if it was famously, but you said when you watched Happy Death Day that you figured out who it was very early on, and that kind of fucking took you out of the movie because you were certain it was that person, and then by the end, when it was that person, you were just kind of like, oh, fuck, whatever. Did that happen in this film?
Well, being that I saw the original a couple days before, I knew...
With the same... Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's... I think that kind of skewed my viewing, too. So I think maybe if I went into this blind... But honestly, I think, yeah, it's telegraphed kind of early, too. Just kind of the way some of the characters act and stuff. So, yeah, I probably would have picked up on it as well on this one. But I knew kind of the ending, obviously, because of watching the 74 version before this.
Now, it's interesting to me that they would stick with the exact same plot line. I mean, I know there's something, you know, solid about sticking with the original script or whatever, but just for the very fact that a movie of this stature with this many people in it, and it's a big murder mystery, and everyone that's seen the original film knows how this film ends. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just would have figured they would have switched it up a little bit.
Yeah. I agree. I wish they would have, but they didn't.
Did you know that it was going to be the same killer, or were you thinking at some point in the movie it was going to be someone else? Maybe they were going to switch it up, or did you know going into it that they stuck to the exact same script?
Yeah, I mean, after he interviews a couple people, you kind of get the feeling that it's going to be the same.
Wow.
Okay. So yeah,
that's actually kind of surprising.
Yeah, and not in a good way.
Oh, so it's not well, okay, so what I'm getting from you, just from that one comment, all right, let's move forward from that. What makes this worse than the original?
So it's just, I mean, I guess it with the remake thing, it's just more of the same. I mean, this is like another thing. This is, I guess if we don't want to get to, we can just go ahead and get out the rating on it.
Okay.
This is gonna be a stream it for me. So I mean, this is worth watching alone for the performances again, like the original. Kenneth
Right.
Branagh's, I mean, he's obviously the main character, so he's on screen pretty much 95% of the time.
Right.
And so, I mean, he does a really good job. I mean, he's directing himself, so and from what I gathered, he does a pretty good job of this Poirot character, which I know nothing about outside of the original. But yeah, it's worth watching. It looks really nice, the movie, the production. It actually only cost $55 million to make, which is kind of surprising.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, it looks nice. The performances are great, for the most part. And yeah.
What would this have been a better movie if they had done a little couple switches here and there? Maybe went a different way with the plot?
For me, at least, yeah. For obviously not knowing what was going to go
Right.
on when I came into it, so I wasn't really on the edge of my seat by any means. But it probably would have been a little better. But I mean, it's based off a novel, so I'm guessing they're wanting to stick pretty close to the source material.
That's true too. So your recommendation would be to not watch the original for this because it kind of.
Yeah. If you want to go in blind, I would definitely say just go into this, and then maybe later revisit the original and you can compare for yourself. But I mean, I imagine you're. I mean, like I said, the original cast is it's pretty massive for 74.
Yeah. All right. There's questions I want to ask, but I feel like it's borderline gonna spoil it, so I won't. Oh, okay. Who gives the best performance? There's a big cast, a lot of big names in it. Who stands out?
Yeah, I would say Kenneth Branagh for sure.
Yeah.
Just based on screen time alone. I mean, some of these side characters, just that's kind of the big complaint too, is that you just a lot of these characters you just don't get any time with them, and so it's kind of hard to relate to any of them or like care about what happens to them or if they're even the killer. So it's a little rough when it comes to that, because I mean, like Penelope Cruz, she's hardly in this movie. Willem Dafoe really doesn't have a lot to do, which granted, with the cast this large, not everyone's gonna have a big meaty portion of everything, but still, it's just a lot of the background characters just don't even matter. Like ha a lot of the half the people in the movie aren't even on like the one sheet here. So yeah.
I saw like one snippet of a review, if you want to call it that, on I think Twitter. I was just going through Twitter and it popped up in my feed, and that don't ask me who it was from. I have no idea. I hate Twitter. But it said that Kenneth Branagh is like he overwhelmingly loves himself in this film. Do you get that feel? Like I've seen some Kenneth Branagh movies where I can't remember what the fuck the name of the movie is, but it's one of the most cringeworthy fucking scenes of all time where he gives this fucking smug smile to it's just awful. Like is this just like a fucking love affair with himself? Because obviously he's directing it and like,
Yeah.
is this him? Is this his movie? Is this him?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely just the Kenneth Branagh production for sure. I mean, I could definitely see that where they're coming from there. Because yeah, I mean, he's the character you're with the entire time. So yeah, a
Is
little.
he all like I was gonna ask this question about Johnny Depp, but we'll get there. Is he a quirky character? Is he got like a weird accent and shit?
Oh yeah, he's got a giant
Yeah.
mustache and very quirky and has a cane and everything, and yeah, he's got all these different quirks to him.
So what about Depp? I noticed like on the poster you got Bron front and center, Daisy Ridley's, there, but Depp's the guy focused on in the poster, if you look at it. The first guy that you see is him.
Yeah.
What's he like in this film?
He is very hard to get into without spoiler territory. He is I mean, I used to be a bigger Johnny Depp fan, but he's just kind of like the same in every movie to me now.
Yeah.
But he's Johnny Depp, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. He's okay. I wouldn't say he's great by any means.
You wouldn't say he's a scene stealer or anything. He's just kind of there.
Yep, exactly.
All right. What would you kind of put this in genre wise? Like, is it just straight up mystery? Is it a thriller?
No. Yeah, this is just straight murder mystery.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I can't foresee people just going into this and being sucked in and like super into this mystery, honestly.
Someone that didn't read the book or didn't see the original film, you don't think this is going to work on them?
I don't think so, but that's just me. Maybe that's just me. Maybe people will. I think, yeah, the older crowd this is going to be tailor-made for them, so they'll probably love it, but I don't know. Like I said, I think that they just based off of, and maybe, like I said, maybe that's me when I viewed it, the original earlier, but I feel like a lot of it's kind of telegraphed, kind of like you were saying with Happy Death Day, kind of cut and dry, and you see kind of what's going to happen.
All right. It's hard to ask you questions because you watched that original right before you watched this, but exactly. Do the red herrings, is literally everyone a suspect at some point? Like, are you fighting? Yes. So that seems like it would get annoying to me.
Yeah, he goes through and interviews everybody. Like they each have their 5 minutes with him.
Yeah.
So he can kind of try to figure it out.
And everyone's basically got their own sort of motive, and like, is that the way it's played out? Like, everyone's got kind of a reason that they would have committed this murder?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, maybe not so much that they committed it, but, yeah, I mean, they all have their quirks and things, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Sounds a tad bit annoying, but also, because I haven't seen or read the original material, I might, it might pass for me. And you're saying stream it? Hey,
I might stream it. Yeah, I would say stream it. Yeah, it's worth a watch. This isn't awful by any means. I mean, it's not overwhelmingly long. You'd think that this would be a lot longer just based off whatever, like everything going for it. But yeah, I mean, it's under 2 hours. So yeah, I'd say for the performances alone, it's definitely worth watching.
Well, yeah, you're right though. Like, it, because of a cast like this, you always think everyone's got to get their screen time, right? So you're looking at like well over 2 hours, but apparently it's just Braun on screen. So everything's just good. Like, oh, hour and a half. Oh, cool.
Yep.
All right.
2 hours of him stroking himself off. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. All right. Murder on the Orient Express. Everybody, stream that shit. Stream it. All right. Next movie was called Daddy's Home 2.
That's right. So, coming off of 2015's Daddy's Home. Mm-hmm. That movie made $150 million on a $69 million budget. So, it's pretty decent for a comedy, I'd say. Came out the week after Force Awakens. Wow. So, this is trying to get a jump on the old holidays, which this is a straight Christmas comedy, which the original, like, marketing, the first trailer, I don't think they really geared that toward that, but, so yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of the original Daddy's Home.
Okay.
I feel like this is going to be almost, just take my review for Bad Moms Christmas last week and just put it in. it is almost the exact same movie, man. The John Lithgow and Mel Gibson are Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell's dads, and they're coming home for Christmas, much like the three moms are coming home for Christmas last week.
Right.
What you got for me? Any questions about this?
Right. Well, the fact that you didn't like the first movie speaks a lot. I always find some sort of humor in a Will Ferrell movie.
See, me for the most part too. Anchorman's probably one of my favorite comedies ever. Love that movie. And for the most part, yeah, I like Will Ferrell. I think he's his best is when he's like a cameo role, like in Wedding Crashers.
Right,
like,
right.
10 minutes in that is super great. But at this point, I can't remember the last like really good movie I liked of his. But I don't. What do you like? Yeah, like I said, what do you have? Any burning questions you have for me about this movie?
Well, absolutely, I have lots and lots of questions about this movie. No, not too many, but I like the casting of Lithgow as his dad. It seems kind of perfect. Does it feel that way when you're watching it?
Yeah, I mean they're pretty similar. It's good casting on that part.
All right, now the controversial casting of Mel Gibson as Mark Wahlberg's father. I don't think the timing of this is doing this movie any favors because the shit that Mel Gibson has gotten away with over the years, not so much gotten away with. I mean, he was persecuted pretty badly for the shit that he did with the cops and the voicemails he left his fucking ex-girlfriend or where the fuck she was. It was all pretty horrible shit. And he went through the ringer and all that. But it seems, you know, obviously, I hate to timestamp something like this. Well, I guess we're reviewing new releases, so it's okay. But, I mean, the atmosphere in Hollywood right now is that all these fucking guys that pulled this shit are getting called out. And I feel like Mel Gibson kind of missed out on the persecution. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of...
Yeah.
He was fucking nominated for an Oscar last year, for fuck's sakes. You know what I mean? Like, this dude... Is that my phone? I'm sorry. this dude is fucking... He's a piece of shit, kind of. And yet, he's pulled up Roman Polanski where he... Everyone's forgot about it. And... Anyways, the fact that all this shit's going on now, and the fact that Mel Gibson just happens to be popping up in a big, big fucking holiday season movie, doesn't seem like the best timing for him. Like, I feel like a lot of shit's going to be brought up that otherwise wouldn't be if he wasn't starring in a movie this weekend. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I don't know. Like, how? First of all, how is he in this movie? Is he all right?
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, he's hamming it up, and he's kind of like the puppet master in the movie, kind of pulling the strings to get them to, you know, fight each other and such. But yeah, he's fine. I wouldn't say I'm raving about his performance by any means, but yeah, he's Mel Gibson. He's okay.
Is there, like, Wahlberg was pretty funny in the first movie. I don't hate the first movie. There's the basketball scene in the first movie is fucking hilarious. When they're at the Laker game.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the hardest I laughed last year in a film, to be honest with you. And Wahlberg was okay. Like, there was some good shit. Bill Burr. Is Bill Burr in this again?
He's in, like, the first, like, 5 minutes and then not in it again.
Oh, okay. Is Mel Gibson, like, is he perfect for this role? Or could you think of, like, at least a handful of other people that might have been cooler as Mark Wahlberg's dad?
Off the top of my head, I can't really think of anyone. But I mean, they're pretty similar in stature and everything. So
yeah.
I mean, it's I could see it. You know, they got similar builds and everything. But yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, no, I can't really think of anybody that would have played it better.
Are you are you a Mel Gibson guy?
Before the shit went down,
were you a Mel Gibson?
Yeah, I mean, Lethal Weapons and stuff growing up, watching those. I mean, yeah, he's Braveheart. I like Braveheart a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hate him by any means, but I wouldn't say that I loved him by any means.
Okay, and do you like Mark Wahlberg?
He's kind of hit or miss for me, honestly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. The fact that
he's talking shit about Boogie Nights now, too, kind of makes me hate him a lot. That doesn't
make sense to me at all. You're right. But, yeah. What I'm getting at is, I hate to say it, but, you know, Mel Gibson, he was the star and director and writer of one of my favorite movies of all time, Braveheart. And, like, that's never going to change. It's just the fact that the movie's fucking amazing to me, and I'll always love it. But, yeah, obviously he's a piece of shit. But I don't truly hate any of these four people. So this movie's going to be pretty bad for me to not like this movie. Is it that bad?
If you like the first one, I bet you'll find some redeeming qualities in this. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you'll laugh at some of it, but I did not enjoy this movie. I didn't.
Is it better than fucking Bad Moms, fucking Christmas Drunk, whatever it's called?
Well, I chuckled a couple of times in this, yes. And I can't say I did that in Bad Moms Christmas. Yes. So, I mean, I guess if you want to go by the chuckle scale, Yeah, it's I guess, but I'm this is not going to be a stream it or a see it for me. So,
right.
You know, take with that what you will. Mm-hmm. But I mean, comedy is obviously a very subjective thing. Those are probably the hardest to review because everybody has a different sense of humor. And you find funny, I don't find funny necessarily, and vice versa.
Right. Like I can imagine that the plot in this movie is just kind of horseshit. Like, considering what the first movie was about, okay, which it worked, it was okay, you know. But then they're like best buddies at the end of the movie, and now they're just gonna kind of redo it with the dad, like the two dads. I can just tell it's gonna be horrible in that aspect. But then the first movie actually was a lot of physical comedy. Like I said, the basketball scene, the skateboarding scene. A lot of physical comedy here. And is John Lithgow do some fucking pratfalls and shit? Is he like just as goofy?
Yeah. 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 Okay. He's getting hit in the face with snowballs and there's a ton of physical comedy in this. That's what while I was watching it, that was a little mental note I was taking. Probably just as much, if not more, than the first one, honestly.
All right. So you're not gonna group this in with any Christmas classics, are you? This isn't like
No, you can definitely tell it's wanting to be a Christmas vacation for like this generation, but it is falls very short of that.
I think it's a bad mom's Christmas for this generation.
That's what exactly.
For this week.
Just 1 week later, yeah.
All right, so what is your recommendation for this film?
Gonna be a skip it. This even this movie ends the exact same way that Bad Mom's Christmas does. It's crazy, dude. Like it's very, very similar in every way.
It's very, very strange. All right, well, this is one of those movies, you know. If it comes my way, it will be watched at work. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not gonna take your recommendation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you like the first one, I'm sure you'll get some kicks and giggles out of this, but not for me.
These are two guys I can't really turn my back on, like Ferrell and Wahlberg.
Yeah.
I mean, individually, they come out with a movie individually, and I'm just going to be like, yeah, well, I'll see it just because they're in it. Now they're together again. Let's do it.
I mean, the other guys is pretty good. I like that. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was a good movie. All right. All right. You sent me a text last week. Was it Rotten Tomatoes that stole our idea? Was that who it was?
Yeah, those fucking cocksuckers. Yeah, it's like a Facebook live, like I don't even know, like a little hourly program a week or something called "See It or Skip It." Can't believe it. I'm gonna murder someone.
Unbelievable. Those cocksuckers. All right. Well, you just have a little pride. You know you started that shit.
The inventor of all things. See it, skip it,
and stream it. Stream it's a key because that makes us unique. That makes us original.
Right, they're gonna swoop in and steal that from us too.
It also makes us criminals because we're streaming. All right, anyways. All right. Okay. What is coming up next week, sir?
So prepare your butthole. It's going to be Justice League next week.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie called Wonder. Have you heard of that at all?
Wonder? Oh, Wonder.
Yeah. It's Wonder. Yeah, Wonder. With Julia Roberts and Owen Wilson and Jacob Tremblay. It's a family. I mean, it's like a family geared drama. It's about a little kid with a disfigured face. Mm-hmm. And
My son just read this book, so it's kind of like a big deal around here, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of school groups and everything is clamoring to watch this. So it's probably going to do pretty well with that audience. So yeah, that. And then there's an animated movie called The Star coming out about the birth of Jesus, but I don't know if I'm going to be watching that one.
Oh, well, why wouldn't you?
Unless you really want me to. Then, you know, Three Billboards starts expanding, so there's a chance we'll have that next week. It just kind of depends, really, because the way these movies and studios start getting with release schedules at this time of year get kind of nutty. So.
All right. That's right. I'm very interested in three of those movies anyways. Not the Jesus movie, but the other three I'm interested to see.
I think that'll be a skip it, just without a blind skip.
you're blind skipping it?
I think so.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, I will. I mean, without even getting a recommendation from you, I'll probably be seeing Justice League and Wonder, and if I can get out by myself, I will be seeing Three Billboards too. So I look at three movies that I am I'm going to be blind seeing it, if you will.
Yeah, I'm pretty. In Bruges is one of my favorite movies the last like 10 years, so
Nice.
can't wait for that one. So yeah, that's only in New York and LA right now, so it'll start expanding next week. So maybe next week or the week after we'll actually receive that one. Because the week
Fantastic.
of Thanksgiving, there's only one new wide release, and it's Coco. So
Oh,
gotta
wow,
close.
really?
That comes out on Wednesday. Yeah, everything's been. Molly's Game was originally supposed to come out, and then I got pushed to Christmas. That Polaroid, that horror movie, was supposed to come out, and that got pushed. And yeah, so they've been pulling things left and right from that date. So as of right now, that's the only wide release on that Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
You have a better insight as to why that would happen. Like, I have no idea. Why would a movie, and I don't know, maybe it wasn't ready, or maybe they had to do some work on it, but why would they pull out of a holiday weekend? That's Thanksgiving weekend, right? And there's only like basically one. Like, no one's that scared of Coco. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I guess it's just like I get the Thor carryover and Justice League a week later or the week before and everything. Because, I mean, yeah, after that, there's not a wide release until December 8th. So, I mean, you've got like Shape of Water is pretty limited the beginning of December and a lot of those. But I don't know, man. It's usually the Pixar movies always release that week of Thanksgiving, and there's usually at least two or three other releases. So
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
this is the
weird.
first year I can remember that it's only one release on that week. But that movie's gonna do super well just because of the fucking Frozen mini like 15-minute short before it. That's they're kind of marketing that as just as that Olaf's Frozen Adventure with Coco in the background, like on the
Well,
posters.
I can't blame him though, because I'll be honest with you, Coco looks a lot like that. What was that fucking movie that just came out a couple years ago?
Yeah, the Book of
Yeah,
Life.
I mean, holy fuck, it looks exactly like it.
Yeah, it really does.
But it's Pixar, so I'll be there. You know what I'm going over these movies. This is like a fucking $300 out of my wallet coming in the next fucking 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man.
Get ready.
Fucking AMG better get on some of these motherfucking movies, because I can't seriously go to the theater 4 times in the next 2 weeks with 3 fucking kids. God damn it.
Yeah.
All right. All right, well, Chad, see, that was fantastic. We got a stream it for Murder on the Orient Express and a skip it for Daddy's Home 2. And I will take your advice for at least one of those. And the other I will probably see. Or at least
Yeah.
stream. I'll stream both. How about that?
That's better.
I'm rebelling.
Don't waste your money on Daddy's Home 2, at least.
I'm not, well, yeah, I can't afford to see any movie this week, looking ahead. All right, buddy. Thank you very much, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, man. See ya.
Hoo-ya!